Has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Has joined.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
We will begin with a Lishem Yehud and commencing the study of the sixth Aliyah for Parashat Yitro. Lishem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Te Bivkilu Urkimu Udkilu Udkilu Urkimu. Liachda l'shem yudhei bavate, liyichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenehu. The sixth Aliyah begins with Exodus chapter 19, verse 20, and completes with chapter 20, verse 14. This is a total of 20 verses. But I think you're going to find that it's a little confusing, these 20 verses, as we go through them, we'll get a sense of that. But the number 20 does connect to the shekel of the temple. And the shekel was a silver coin that was used in temple times as money. It was consisted of 20 gerar, which is like, it's not exactly the ounces that we use for jewelry now, but it's similar in the concept of what they measure. And we know that the number 20 connects to the 10 sephirot of direct light and the 10 sephirot of returning light. So let us commence our reading with verse 20. Vayered Adonai Yehovahe Adanu Yo Yehovahe Wanu Heyo Al Har Sinai El Rosh Har Vayikra Adonai Yehovahe Adanu Yo Yehovahe Wanu Heyo Le Moshe El Shahar Waya Al Moshe Wayomer Adonai Yo He Wahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Wanu He Yo El Moshe Reid Haid Bam Pen Yehersu El Adonai Yo He Wahe Adanu yo yo ahe da wandu heyo lirod wenafa mi menu rav wegam hakohanim anigashim el Adonai yo he wahe Adanu yo yo ahe da wandu heyo. Yit kadashu pen yifrots vahem Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe da wanu heyo. Vayomer Moshe el Adonai danu yo. Yo ahe da wanu hey yo. Lo you call ham la alot el har sinai ki ata haedota banu le mor hagbel et hahar vakidashto vayomer elav adonai yo he wahe Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo. Lech red we alita ata, we acharon. Imach we ha kohanim, we ha am al yechersu. La alot el adonai yo he wahe. Adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu heyo. En yifrats bam. Wayered Moshe el ham. Wayomer alehem. Chapter 20, verse 1. Waydaber Elohim et kol hadivarim. Aile leemor. Verse 2 begins the Esser Dibrot. Please rise. Anochi Adonai yo he wahe Adanu yo. Yo ahe da wanu he yo. Elohecha asher hotse ticha. Me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beit avadim, lo yihye lecha, Elohim acherim al panai. Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'kal temunah asher b'shamayim. Mima awa asher baretz mitachat wa asher b'mayim mitachat laretz lo tishtacha velachem velo havdem ki anochi Adonai yo he wahe Adanu yo. Yo ahe da wanu heyo. Elohecha Elkana. Boker awon avod al banim. Al shileishim we al ribeim. Ule yeshonai. We ose chesed la alafim. La le ohavai ushomre hat mitzotai lo tisa et shem adonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo ahe da wanu he yo elohecha la shav kilo Yenake Adonai, yo he wahe Adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo. Et asher isa et shemo lashav, zachor et yom hashabbat lekadsho. Sheshet yamim ta'avod v'yasita kol melachtecha. V'yom hashvi shabbat la'adonai yo hei wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu hei yo. Elohecha lo ta'aseh. Kom elacha ata uvnecha uvitecha avdecha uyamadcha uvhemtecha vegercha asher visharecha ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo, yo ahedawanu heyo. Et hashamayim viet haaretz, et hayam viet kol asher bam, v'yanach v'ayom hashvii. Al kein berach yadonai, yo hewahe adanu yo. Yo ahedawanu heyo. Et yom ha-shabbat vayikadshehu kabed et avicha v'et imecha l'ma'an ya'arikun yamecha al ha'adama asher Adonai Yo hewahe adanu yo, yo ahedawanu heyo. Elohecha noten lach, lo tirtzach, lo tinach, lo tignov, lo ta'ane bereacha, et shaker. Lo tachmod beit re'echa, lo tachmod eshet re'echa, v'avdo wa'amato, v'shoro wa'chamoro, v'kol asher li're'echa. From verse 2, chapter 20, verse 2, to verse 14, this is the total of the Esther Dibrot. If you count the verses, it's 13 verses. Except in your Chumash, you'll find that it's only 9 verses. The sages have implemented a different reading, a different structure of verses for public readings, which we are doing a public reading. So it's set up for 13 verses, and we know the number 13 is connecting to unity and echad, oneness, ahava, love, deagag, caring. There's this very significant reason for it, and we understand that. But why is it 9 verses, and why isn't it 13 verses? It's the same number of words, the same number of letters, 620 letters, which represents the 620 mitzvot, which consists of the 613 mitzvot, plus the 7 rabbinic mitzvot, or the 7 Noahide laws, depending on what's your point of view and how you understand that. So, why the 9, and why is it different? We don't really have answers. I mean, obviously, 9 connects to wisdom, or to Yesod. But we don't know why it's different in the Chumash. It's different in the Torah because it doesn't have verse numbers in the Torah. So we really don't understand why this took place, why we do read 13, why do we have the different public reading, and why is the Chumash in a different format of 9 verses. I'm trying to get across my confusion. When I first started to study Kabbalah, the art scroll Humash, at the end of each parasha, they give you code words that explains the number of verses in the parasha. And they always work out. The number of verses is always correct, except in the parasha of Yitro and Vayetchanan, which is in Deuteronomy, which is the second reading, second time the Esther Dibrot are read. And again, there you have 9 verses in the Chumash and 13 in the public reading. But in Yitro, and I don't remember what the number of verses was in Vayetchanan, but in Yitro it tells us that there are 75 verses. But if you count them, there's only 72 verses. Well, one explanation could be this issue between the 9 verses of the Esther Dibrot in the Chumash and the 13 verses in the public reading. But that would change it to 71 verses because there's a difference of 4. So it is very confusing. It was very confusing to me at the beginning of my Kabbalah study, and it has not yet been explained or an explanation that did not make sense. There is the 72 verses in Yitro connect to Chesed, that's the gematria of 72. In when you count 13, there's 76 verses. So we don't know the connection to 75. Now we can start to evaluate and study the English translation. Hashem descended upon Mount Sinai to the peak of the mountain. And Hashem summoned Moses to the peak of the mountain, and Moses ascended. Hashem said to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, lest they break their formation and go nearer to Hashem to see, and many of them will fall." And also the priests who go near to Hashem shall prepare themselves, lest the Lord wreak destruction upon them. And Moses said to Hashem, "The people cannot ascend to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set boundaries for the mountain and sanctify it.'" But Hashem said to him, "Go, descend, and then you shall ascend, and Aaron with you. But the priests and the populace shall not break their formation to ascend to Hashem, lest he wreak destruction upon them." Why is the language in the third person, not the first person? So Moses went down to the people and said this to them. And now you have a space in the Torah scroll. How do I know that? Because it's a new chapter. There's no reason to say that what I'm about to read, Elohim spoke all these words to respond. Why is there a name change from Hashem to Elohim? Why is there a space in the Torah scroll that separates? Why doesn't the Esther Dibrot start with this first verse? Why does it start with the second verse? The second verse, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Why? Hashem is our God. Why does this first Eser Dibrot, which really isn't an Eser Dibrot, it's not a command. We have to modify it to say the first of the Eser Dibrot is to know God. With this statement that I am Hashem, your God, That's not a mitzvah. Why is he also attaching, because I took you out of the land of Egypt and I took you out of the house of slavery, out of the house of bondage, you should know me. And knowing me is the mitzvah. Verse 3. You shall not have Elohim of others in my presence. Again, we're changing names. You can have, I'm not saying this, but the question could be, well, if I'm addressing the name of Hashem, is it okay to have a graven image? Is it okay to have another God? God forbid. Why is there the change of name? Verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness, which is in the heavens above, which is on the earth below, or which is in the water beneath the earth. The water beneath the earth is not the oceans. Heavens above, we understand. The earth below, we understand. But water beneath the earth, that's not the oceans. The oceans are above the earth. Verse 5. You shall neither prostrate yourself before them nor worship them, for I, Hashem, your God, am a zealous God who visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons, upon the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, this sounds like if your father does the mistake, it's going to hit you. But elsewhere in Deuteronomy, it says that no one will receive the effect of someone else's mistake. So the Zohar explains that this idea, visiting the iniquity on the fathers upon the sons, this is an aspect of reincarnation, that the fathers, the sons represent the reincarnations of the souls that make the mistake. And so they see the effect of that. Verse 6. I could also ask, because verse 4 is the second of the Eser Dibrot. So why do we have verse 2 and verse 3 before we get to the second Eser Dibrot? Verse 6. And perform loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and to those who keep my mitzvot. Now, my translation adds words that are not there. And I perform loving kindness to thousands of generations, to those who love me, and to those who keep my mitzvot. And again, this is referring to reincarnation. You shall not take the name of Hashem, your God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold blameless anyone who takes his name in vain. And again, we have the idea, this is the third of the Esser Dibrot, but it's the seventh verse. So why are we getting two verses? Remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. That's the fifth of the Esser Dibrot. Maybe I made a mistake that six is the third Esser Dibrot and the seventh is the fourth Esser Dibrot. Verse 9. 6 days may you work and perform all your labor. 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to Hashem, your God. You shall perform no labor, neither you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your beast, nor your stranger who is in your cities. So the Sabbath day is essentially has three of the verses. Verse 11. For 6 days Hashem made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So actually, it's four verses for the Sabbath day, which is the fifth of the Esser Dibrot. Verse 12, honor your father and mother in order that your days be lengthened on the land that Hashem your God is giving you. We live in exile. Does that mean if we don't honor our father and mother, we don't? Or if we honor our father and mother, we are not getting longer lives because we're not living in Israel. Is that a true statement? It's a question we can ask. And is the opposite true? If I don't honor my father and mother living in the land of Israel, do I not lengthen my days? Verse 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Here are four mitzvot, four of the Esser Dibrot, all in one verse. And there are a number of spaces between each of these four. They're short spaces. I think it's nine letters, but still there are spaces. And we know wherever there are spaces in the Torah, that's where you will find Hashem. The spaces between the letters, the spaces between words. And the spaces that separate lines. These are all different forms of spaces, and it all relates to different levels of Hashem. Verse 14, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. The 10th of the Esser Dibrot. What is the difference between coveting and committing adultery? Adultery is coveting a particular woman that's married to your neighbor. Coveting other things. So there's a separation between people and things. But also, coveting is in your thoughts. Whereas committing adultery is an action. shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. Why does it need to say ox and donkey and manservant and so forth? It's sufficient to say you shall not covet your neighbor's house and everything that belongs to your neighbor. Why do we need the specific list? This is the end of our reading. We're also out of time because it's a very important reading. So we're not going to have time to do the Perek Shirah today. We will be doing the Shir HaShirim at 11 o'clock West Coast time. Are there any questions about the reading or my comments? Or comments about my comments? You all have a good day. Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful Shabbat. And enjoy the reading. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Hey, hello.